Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, we have been in an Advent sermon series called What Are We Singing About? We've been taking a Christmas carol that we kind of, one of those that we know by heart, but by the time we get to the halfway through the second verse, we're kind of doing the da-da-da-da, you know, because we just don't want to lose what we're singing about at Christmas. So we've been taking a Christmas carol, singing it on the Sunday morning, and then preaching on it, or rather we've been preaching from the scriptures on where the carol writers gathered their material for their carol, and we've been letting it penetrate deep into our hearts. It's been a great series, and Harmony is going to help us continue with that series, so why don't you welcome her up now.
Good morning. Just give me a minute while I organize myself here. Technology does not come naturally to me. So I'm just going to remind myself I can do this. I'm going to piggyback also on what Andy said. Our kids' rooms and our youth rooms need worship leaders. They need leaders of all description. If something that Andy was praying about resonated with you, it might be time for action. You might need to do something about it. And there's lots of places to get involved. So I'll leave that with you for the Holy Spirit to just continue to speak to you about that. But I think I owe it to Katie to at least put that out there, right? Our kids pastor. Okay, so we're in this incredible series called What Are We Singing About? And we've looked at a different carol every week. And it's been a really formational time, hasn't it, for our community? It's been about way more than just unpacking the carol and the nostalgia of our childhood with it. We've encountered Jesus in these carols, and that's really been the best bit of it. And I found it really enriching to look at these old carols. Of course, they've been a part of my childhood journey as well. But we need new songs too, don't we? And in fact, if you search the scriptures, sing a new song unto the Lord comes up a lot in the Psalms, in Revelation, in Isaiah, throughout the Bible. Singing a new song is a really good thing. So this morning, it gives me great pleasure to talk about a new song, and we've already sung it this morning. I'm really excited about it because it's a new song, it's a fresh expression, but also because it was written in our community by Kath Butler, who is in the kids' rooms. I know, isn't she amazing? But she's not here. She's back there teaching the kids about songwriting, which is amazing. And we're so thankful for her. I know that she wrote this song not just for her own enjoyment, but also for our community, with our community in mind. And each week we've had a little bit of context of the writer. You know, we've seen an old black and white photo up on the screen. I joked with Kath. I said, Kath, can I have a black and white photo of, oops, I'm really good at this, aren't I? Let's backtrack a little bit. Let's go back to there. Written by Kath Butler. There's no photo. I don't think she really wanted that, but she would love to chat to you about the journey. I'm going to tell you a little bit about writing the carol, and I'm the only one of our preachers that was able to talk with the real live writer of the song, which was very exciting. So as a fellow songwriter, I need you to know one thing, okay? This is really difficult. What Kath has done is a masterpiece. It is so carefully crafted. And I am really excited for us to take a look at this wonderful carol and appreciate that properly, okay? So what we're gonna do is we're gonna read it together because I will get tired of the sound of my own voice between now and when we finish. So let's read this together and really appreciate what she's done here. Okay, verse 1. A star hung low in Bethlehem. The promised hour drew near, and angel armies filled the skies, told shepherds not to fear. For here on earth a child was born, a son from David's line, the King eternal, robed in time, his name Emmanuel, his name Emmanuel. A light that shone through darkest night, the longed-for joy appeared. To end oppression, pour out peace, restore the ruined years. His beauty hidden from our eyes, he stepped from heaven's throne and bore our grief, betrayed alone. His name, Emmanuel. His name, Emmanuel. God is with us now. God is with us now. Come adore him, bow before him. God is with us now. With words of truth, he breaks our chains. With grace, he lifts our shame. His love will tend our wounded frame until he comes again. Then, on that day, we'll welcome in the fullness of his reign. And every voice this cry will raise, his name, Emmanuel. His name, Emmanuel. God with us. Isn't it wonderful? It is so wonderful. I want to tell you three particular things that I'm loving about this carol, okay? First, the progression of the story. From the star in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, to the climax in verse 3 where we welcome in the rule and fullness of his reign. Secondly, the careful, dare I say, painstaking attention to detail in her lyrics. The rhyme, the matching of the melody to the words, that's hard, way harder than it looks. Third, and this is the most important piece, the clarity of the main message. There's one key message in this song, Emmanuel, God with us. That is, in fact, what a great song does. A great song communicates one thing or one story really well. And largely that's to do with the fact that it's not a symphony, it's not a film. We've got 3 to 5 minutes to say one thing. So after this carol was finished, after the journey of writing, I asked Kath a few questions about what it was like for her and got to do the little interview process with her. And the key thing that I took from that, there was so much in there that she, I'm sure, would love to share with you, especially if you're interested in writing songs. But the key thing that I took away from that conversation with her, for her, in her experience of doing this, is that she entered in to the wonder and the mystery of God with us in a whole new way. She stepped in, she entered in. And I suppose my question for the rest of us here today, and for myself, is how are we entering in to that same mystery, to the mystery of Emmanuel, God with us? Whether we're new to faith, or we've been following Jesus for a long time, maybe new to this community of faith, how are we making room for this in our lives? Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just a central theme in Kath's carol. Turns out, it's quite a central theme in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's take a look. He begins like this. Chapter 1, 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, right there in the opening chapter. Matthew is drawing from this verse, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Well, it turns out when Kath was writing this carol, guess what verse caught her attention? guess what verse she read and she thought, I have to write about this? This one. His name, Emmanuel. Back to Matthew now. Matthew opens with the theme, and then he comes back to it again, right in the middle. Matthew chapter 18, you'll probably know this verse. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Isn't it wonderful? I am with them. And in a stunning, we're doing the lightning speed version here through the book of Matthew. And in a closing final chapter, he circles right back to this theme. Whoops. There we go. Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Isn't it magnificent? I had read the Gospel of Matthew a good few times. I didn't notice that until just these last couple of weeks. Beginning, middle, and end, and probably seasoned elsewhere as well. He is with us always. God is with us now. Now. Is that better? Now do you understand? I'm not sure you're understanding me. I rehearsed that one extra long at home. But I love that Kath chose that word, now. I'm not going to say gnaw your way continuously because otherwise you'll feel that I'm mocking you. But I love that she, I wouldn't do such a thing. I love that she chose that word. Notice what the word now does. So for instance, if I were to say to you, what is happening right now? Where are you right now? How do you feel now? Even though you've been sitting here since 10:30, all of a sudden you're more alert and awake, more present to the moment, more attuned to your surroundings. God is with us now. God is with us now. Come adore him. Bow before him. God is with us now. The repetition of that line is so powerful. One way that we experience the now of his presence is in worship. And we just did that, so I don't need to convince you, hopefully. You were here, you experienced it. But worship has a way of waking us up to his presence. God is very much present before we start singing, right? But as soon as we start to worship, it's like the lights go on in a dark room. He's been there all along. It's us that wake up in that moment. I had the absolute pleasure of being part of a choir recently. It had been a long time since I'd sung in a choir, and I was really, really astounded by how happy I was when I left that night. I came away absolutely buzzing. So, I did a little research to find out what exactly that was about. So, I won't share all of my findings with you, don't worry, we would be here for a long time. But I discovered that there is science to support why singing makes us feel happy. Apparently, singing is really good for us. Apparently, some people call it a super drug. And it's available to all for free, and it's legal. Singing releases feel-good chemicals in the same way that chocolate or a runner's high would do for those of you that run. And here's the really cool bit. This effect is amplified, research shows, when we, can you guess? Sing together. Yeah, there's like an extra benefit there. Studies have shown that oxytocin, which is one of those feel-good chemicals, is released in greater doses when we sing together. Isn't that cool? That's why I felt great coming out of that choir practice. And it used to be that people would sing together a lot more. Have you noticed this? So how many of you have ever been carol singing? You know, where you go from house to house? I bet if we would ask that same question a good few years ago, every hand would have gone up. Everyone would have sung in choirs and all of that. But choirs are actually making a comeback, and if you watch, there's a lot of choirs that are starting, even in this city. And I think one of the key reasons is actually that it breaks through some of the loneliness in our society, some of the isolation that plagues our Western culture. Choirs are making a comeback, and I think that's a huge reason why. Part of singing in that choir that night, part of the absolute spine-tingling satisfaction of being in that room was all the other voices, from the very low bass to the high soprano, and being standing close enough to them to be able to hear it. And we do get that sense sometimes on a Sunday morning when we can hear each other as well. I drew courage from their voices, because behind that voice is their story, their journey with Jesus. You know, there's so much in a voice, isn't there? And standing near that really low bass singer, it was like, whoa! And something lifted in my spirit just from hearing him sing. So singing, as we do together, is a powerful way that we can enter in to the mystery and the wonder of God with us. I was really tempted to do like a three-part singing thing now. But anyway, I don't have enough time. Maybe another time, I know. Priorities, I have other things that I want us to get to. But God isn't just with us in those magical, transcendent moments. He's with us in the everyday. And actually, this is probably the bit that's a bit more challenging, isn't it? In the ordinary, with the shepherds in a field, in a smelly, dirty stable, God is with me, with you in the boring bits of our life, in the mundane eating and working and resting, in changing the nappies, doing the laundry, cleaning the car, as my lovely husband did this weekend. There's an author whose book is called Liturgy of the Ordinary, and she says this, Tish Warrenson is her name, she says, "Most of the meals that I have eaten, thousands upon thousands, were utterly unremarkable. If you asked me what I ate 3 weeks ago on Monday, I could not tell you." Can anyone hear? Do you remember? 3 weeks ago. "I could not tell you, and yet, that average, forgettable meal nourished me. Thousands of forgotten meals have brought me to today. They've sustained my life. They were my daily bread." She contrasted this with a really exquisite meal that she had, that she does remember and does stand out. And yet, what she's saying is those fine dining experiences aren't the things that kept her alive. I've become so painfully aware, especially this morning in worship, how much of a day goes by that I am not aware of his sustaining presence, that I don't notice, that I'm not awake to it. God is with me, but am I aware of his presence? God is with me, but am I with him? Am I, and are you making space for him? We've been talking in this series about how Christmas is such a formational time. What is being formed in me and in you this Advent? Is it a longing for more of him? Is it a longing for something else? There was a time in my life a couple of years ago when I was particularly unaware and not present. not to myself, not to God or people around me. I probably hit it well too, which is another topic. But anyway, I was just stuck. So in that period of time, God revealed to me in a dream that I was essentially spiritually constipated. I'll not go into the details of said dream. I wouldn't want you to feel unwell. Nothing was going in, nor was anything coming out. And he led me in that season to a tool, a way of praying and engaging with his presence that has been used across the church for a very, very long time, and it's called The Examine. And in a moment, we're going to do that together, and I have a video that I'd love to show you. But I didn't have this video, and this video is only a few minutes long, and actually, I needed more like a half an hour a day for a year of this exercise, and you'll see in a minute what it's about. But why was I suffering from spiritual constipation? Because there was unresolved junk in my life. Things like grief, hurt, disappointment, and I was emotionally on lockdown. It was all just being held really tight. And I'm aware that in a room this size, there will be other people who are on lockdown. And rather than being present, you are, just as I was, absent, which is a pretty scary word, absent. Absent to ourselves, absent to others, absent to God. And I tread carefully here. There may even be people here who feel that God has been absent. And if that's your story, then I'm praying, especially for you this morning, that you will encounter the God with us, the God with you right now. One of the things that I'm only just beginning to appreciate about spiritual disciplines and rhythms like The Examine that we're about to do together is the humdrum nature of it. The way it usually doesn't feel like anything much is happening when I was doing this for a half an hour a day and I used my journal. Will not write anything today, but the way I did it was I journaled through this every day for at least a half an hour every day. But it was incredibly boring. Maybe at times there were some tears or a sense of, as I was writing, having some kind of epiphany, but I never heard an audible voice. There were no angels that appeared. There was no lightning from heaven. It was really ordinary. So that's what I'm learning, that simply being present and making space is enough. And what I'm also seeing is that trust increases. Even when it doesn't feel like it's electrifying or transcendent, in those moments when I'm on my own in that secret place that we sang about. And Isaac and I did not have a conversation about today's worship set. That was all him listening to the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Isaac, for getting there ahead of me this morning. But in that secret place, I'm learning. It doesn't have to be electrifying. And I'm learning that trust is increased because I'm able to trust that he's there even when I don't feel a thing. So let me give you another example if this is still too abstract for you. Andy is often up here and he gets to talk about me and our marriage, and so now it's my turn. I remember some great date nights with Andy. We've had some wonderful adventures, particularly some of the ones that stand out are things like me falling out of a train in Austria and him laughing. You have these moments together. Yeah, I'm still alive to tell the story, which is the main thing. But we have these incredible adventures, these wonderful moments together. Of course, our marriage ceremony itself. But that's not where trust was built. Trust is built in the ordinary, everyday. That's how I know he's going to be there for me. He cleans the car, brings me a cup of coffee, takes the kids to work, listens to my, to school. Yeah, to school. Thank you, Sandra. You pulled a face and that helped me realize. What are you talking about? And, it's in those ordinary things. The date nights are great, and we need those. But that's not where trust is really established. So, without further ado, let's hit this video, shall we? Leading us through this spiritual exercise is our longtime friend, Dan Wilt, our Canadian-American friend. The last time he was over, our BCV team got him on camera, and we've been using this for a little while. I also need to tell you that this was filmed by Brian Walsh. Are you here, Brian? Yeah, there we go. lovely chance to embarrass some people. It was produced by Mr. Kernahan, who is at the back there. And Chris Hutchinson, are you here? No. Well, he wrote the music that's behind this, which you can also access on iTunes. Plus Cass Carroll, I think today is like the most BCV creative input that we've ever had. But it won't be the most forever. We're going to do even more than this. But anyway, without further ado, let's come to the video. Is that okay, guys?
We're going to take a few minutes now and do the daily examine together. We're going to do it over the course of just a few minutes, though you can extend this, as you'll see, over the course of 15, 20 minutes, whatever time period works for you at that particular time. But you can also do it in the space of just 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to walk through 5 steps of the daily examine. The first is we become aware of the presence of God with us. We become aware of the reality that Christ is indwelling, that He's here in us. We become aware of the reality that God is around us, God is here. Richard Foster said in these moments we can use an Orthodox prayer called a breath prayer, where as we breathe in, we simply pray silently, "You are here." And then as we breathe out, we pray silently, "And I am with you." We do that a few times until the distractions, the noise, begin to separate, and we actually can get focused on the reality that we are with God. We're centered in that moment of prayer. Then we move into the second step, which is the giving of thanks. We give thanks. We look over the last few hours since the last time we did the daily examine, if you're doing it multiple times in the day. We look over the last few hours and we tease apart the hours to see what we can find to give thanks for. We're actually looking for details to be thankful for so they don't just pass in a blur. We actually give them time. We think about that taste of that coffee and what a gift it was to have it that morning, the caffeine that we got. We might thank God for things as basic as the gas that it took us to get to work or to go get the groceries today. We're looking for things to be thankful for. Even if there's a point of pain for us, we say, "Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to trust you." We turn it into gratitude, and we see the past few hours through the lens of thankfulness. Then we move to step 3. Step 3 is we simply become aware of our emotions. We become aware of the state of our heart. We seek to give the emotion we're feeling a name so that we can give it to God. Things that remain unnamed, they still have power over us. We seek to name the emotion we're experiencing. It might be joy and delight. It might also be anger or sadness. Name it and then give it to God at this step. Another way to see this is if you can't really put a word to it, then find an image that expresses how you're coming to God in this moment. You might also want to reflect on the possibility that over the last few hours, you may have been like Jesus to someone. Take a moment and celebrate that in that moment. You might have decided that over the past few hours, you hadn't chosen Jesus' way. If that's the case, then choose to make amends. Note that. But really, we're getting in touch with our emotions. Step 4, we're going to choose one joy or success to pray for, to give to God, something beautiful that's happening or something that concerns us. We're going to give Him those burdens. And then finally, we're going to look with hope toward the next hours ahead of us. So let's take a few moments now and let's do the daily examine together. First, let's become aware of the presence of God. Maybe close your eyes, quiet your heart, and breathe in, praying silently, "You are here." And then breathe out, praying silently, "And I am with you." Let's do that and focus our attention on Christ. Now let's look to the past few hours that have just gone by. Begin to think of every detail you can that you could be thankful for. If it was a joy, give thanks to the Lord for it. If it was a sad part of your time or your last hours, then thank the Lord for another opportunity to trust Him. Through the lens of gratitude, see the last few hours and say thanks to Jesus. Now become aware of your emotions. How are you feeling? See if you can give that emotion a name. Maybe if you can't find a word for it, maybe it's an image. Become aware of how you're feeling and give that to the Lord. Now choose one feature of the last hours. Maybe it was a joy, maybe it's a burden you're carrying, and just talk to the Lord about it. Give it to Him. Take this moment to pray. Finally, let's look toward the next few hours laying ahead of us. Think about what's coming up. And through the lens of hope and trust and expectation, give it to the Lord. Say that you trust Him to be involved, for His will to be done, for Him to be present no matter what may come. Let's look with hope toward the next hours. In Jesus' name we come. Amen. I'd encourage you to memorize these five steps, to make the daily examine part of your ongoing daily ritual. Whenever you feel tension or stress rising up, take a moment, take a walk, and do the daily examine. And I pray you're encouraged and built up as you become more and more aware of the presence of God with you, of your own heart and what He is doing all around you.
I read recently that there was a study where people had the choice between an electric shock or 15 minutes with no distractions in a room. Most people chose the electric shock. Let's not be those kind of people. I know we're not, but let's not become those kind of people. If it's helpful, you can use this very video. It will be on our social media. It's on our YouTube channel, which you can just Google and make use of it. It would make a nice companion to your daily Bible verse that you're getting. There are so many different disciplines. If this tool doesn't work for you, don't worry. It saved my life. I don't know if it will save yours, but there will be something, there will be a way of connecting, being present to the Lord that will work for you. Maybe it's 2 minutes of silence. I started with that. That felt like 2 million minutes at the start. It's amazing how long 2 minutes is when you're quiet. Whatever it is, I bless you to pursue this making space in your life. And if the band want to come up, we're about to enter into our carol again. So, just to recap then, God is with us in the life-changing encounter. Those moments with the Lord that we really treasure. They're important. Those times together as we worship together as a community. Those are really important. But He's also with us when it seems like absolutely nothing is happening. And just as the strategically placed reminders throughout the Gospel of Matthew, in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, always, and especially right now, God is with us. There is a longing in our hearts for the God who is with us. It is there. So don't waste this time. Make space for him, and not just during this wonderful festive time of Christmas, but for a life lived in his presence. That's what we're after. So, would you like to sing this amazing carol one more time? Yeah? All right, let's stand. This moment, every moment, in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, always, and especially right now, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you feed us, sustain us. Thank you for the remarkable and the unremarkable, the things that are seen and unseen, things that we understand and the things that we don't, that are mystery. Increase our awareness right now of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that can disqualify us from being in your presence. That is the power of the cross, the message of the gospel. So for those of us present here today, if you feel like there's something in your life that is disqualifying you, an obstacle, if you're stuck in any way, you need to come and get ministry this morning. So prayer ministry team, would you come up? And we just say right now, in the name of Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God, from his presence, from his heart for us. Absolutely nothing can separate us. And if that's something that you are wrestling with, please do come up and get ministry. Give us courage, Lord, to swim against the tide of our culture, which says that bigger is better. When you're in the little things, you're in the ordinary. We're ordinary people, and you are empowering us for more. In the secret place, in the public place, any place that we go, your presence goes with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.